make it sound so laborious, but it's where I'm at peace.
Well, it is when I sit there feeling bad because Justin, Steve, and I are like just chowing down on appetizers and free food and free booze and playing video games with no lines.
And banging all the Jabba the Hutt cosplayers.
All of them.
Like
they're so big that like all three of us have to take one.
You take it down like an army of ants.
Yeah. Surround and drown.
I was thinking more like those Chinese dragons at the parades. We got to get up underneath it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All those legs.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even know what's going on.
Very slimy, very dark, very dirty. But it happens.
And at the end, there's fireworks. God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I believe this is episode 119, for those of you keeping track, or score, whichever you prefer. And today, I am joined by Mr. David Edmondson and Randy Van Dyke. How the heck are you two doing today?
Awesome.
I am fantastic times 119.
How are you doing today? I'm fabulous. I'm a little sad we're missing Amanda this week, but I'm pretty sure we three can pull it off just fine.
She's kind of like the rudder that keeps us from going ashore or completely off on tangents, so this should get interesting.
When she's awake.
Right.
She tends to fall asleep. We do these podcasts pretty late. Because, you know, we're night owls.
Speak for yourself.
We come home when the strip clubs kick us out.
Yeah. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Exactly. So we go to the podcasting place. There's a podcasting store.
It's open all night. It's across the street from the strip club.
A bunch of homeless people put on some headphones and rock the mic, which is what we do. Because we're cool
I'm
like that.
I'm going to rock right now.
That sounds like another one of those block rocking beats.
Yeah, I think it's really all just one song, and they just like cut it up in like 3-minute chunks and release it as individual tracks.
Yeah. You remember Fatboy Slim?
I do.
You remember when it was like...
It was like,
Fatboy Slim me, Fatboy Slim me, Fatboy Slim me. So stupid. Whatever. Anyway. So, last week, we were chatting. You know, we record this podcast on Monday nights, and of course, as fate would have it, frickin' Marvel has this huge old event over at the El Capitan where they make these crazy announcements about all kinds of movies, taking us all the way up to, what, 2020?
2019, to the end of the current Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There you go. Now, it was a lot to take in, a lot of information, and some of it was good, some of it was like, what? Some of it was like, huh? Other of it was like, oh my god! So, that's basically our meter. That's our excitement meter. So, Dave, why don't you break it down for us? Why don't you tell us what happened, step by step? Let's do it.
Gotcha. Here we go. All right. So, real quick, we'll just run down the lineup that they announced. So, Age of Ultron is coming out next May. Ant-Man is coming out that same July of 2015. Captain America 3, officially subtitled Civil War, will come out May of 2016. Doctor Strange will come out later that year, November 2016. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 2017. Thor 3 Ragnarok, July 2017. They're going to make a Black Panther movie, November 3rd, 2017. Captain Marvel, their very first female-led superhero movie, is going to come out July 2018. Inhumans, November 2018. And then the big capper that got everyone so excited was Avengers Infinity War Part 1, May 4th, 2018. Avengers Infinity War Part 2, May 3rd, 2019. So... And so Infinity War is going to be the culmination of the current Marvel Cinematic Universe. We don't know exactly what that means. Obviously, it's not the last Marvel movie. They'll continue to make Marvel movies. Maybe this is the last of the connected Marvel Universe, and they'll start anew with a different Cinematic Universe. But they're being real vague, obviously, since it's, you know, 5 years out. Now, out of all these movies, what stands out the most to you, Justin?
Probably, honestly, I would have to say Captain Marvel. That stands out the most to me. Not because I'm most excited about it, but I think it's a big deal. Black Panther 2, even though I could care less about the character, it's exciting for people to be happy about this character. There's a lot of Black Panther fans out there, and it's great to see them happy.
Did you see the concept art for his armor in the post?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty rad looking.
It does look rad. I'm excited. I call him T'Challa Walla Bing Bang. I don't know why. It's just I can't read it without saying T'Challa Walla Bing Bang. I don't know why.
Like C-T-U-L-A.
Yeah.
He's very African.
Yes. He's a fine young man.
What about you, Randy? What stands out for you on this list?
I think Captain America 3 Civil War, and it's mainly just the subtitle of Civil War, because we all suspected that that was where Captain America 3 was going to go, but it is 100% confirmed with a title like that. Mm-hmm. So that stands out in my mind.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's cool that they're kind of. It looks like this is all going to be like almost like one big long story with the Avengers and the Captain America and the Thor movies, and it'll be really neat if Captain America Civil War really just F's up the team dynamic to where they're in such disarray that Thanos can just come in and just like whoop on their ass in part one. And then part two can be all about, you know, they can pretty much throw everything at it. You know, the Guardians, the Avengers, everybody to try to combat it. Now there were a couple omissions that people have caught on. There's no mention of a Black Widow movie that they've been talking about for a long time. There's no mention of a standalone Hulk movie, and there's no Iron Man 4, which shouldn't surprise most people, but you know, it's now officially down that there will not be another full Iron Man movie. You could argue that Civil War is half an Iron Man movie since he's going to be one of the protagonists. Does that disappoint you guys that we're not going to see Black Widow or Hulk?
Based on what we've seen from all the Marvel movies that have been coming out recently, I would say that I would be very excited to see, you know, a standalone Hulk or Black Widow movie. But at the same time, I think because I like both of those characters so much, the less, including Iron Man, actually, I think the less is more might be the way to go.
Yeah. I'll have to agree with you there. I mean, look at the previous attempts at making a standalone Hulk feature, and granted, they don't necessarily fit into the current Marvel Universe. There was difficulty, and one of the reasons why he worked as well as he did in Avengers is because he was in there in small doses. Mm-hmm. So, I'm okay with that, keeping that dynamic. And Black Widow, as much as I am a fan of Scarlett Johansson, I really don't think her character needs a standalone movie. I think she's a good support character.
Mm-hmm. And she kicks ass in every scene that she's in, too. Like, she kills it. So I think it makes more sense to leave us wanting.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of the glue that holds the Marvel Cinematic Universe together. You know, she's kind of always present, you know. She's been in Iron Man movies, Captain America movies, Avenger movies, you know. Mm-hmm. She gets around.
And you know, let me just add that I'm not interested in seeing a Hawkeye movie either.
True. Neither am I, really.
No way, shape, or form. I'll take all the big guys, but I don't need them.
Yeah, what about Robin Hood?
Yeah.
What about a Hawkeye and Black Widow duo movie?
No. I got enough Hawkeye at the end of the Avengers to... If that was all he ever did, then I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
Legolas. You know, I like watching Legolas kill guys all day, but I don't want to hear him talk or see his own little story. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
100%. And I think we're going to get more Hawkeye in Avengers 2. I think he's going to have a bigger role, you know, since his Avenger 1 role was kind of weak.
Down.
That he gets taken over. I think we're going to see a lot more of him in Avengers 2. A lot of people are real excited about Thor Ragnarok.
And why is that, Dave?
I was not as familiar about Thor Ragnarok as most, but I did my research and stuff like that, my due diligence, and it sounds pretty cool, actually. You know, it's in a world where Thor is assumed dead. Tony Stark takes his hair from Thor and clones a cyborg clone of Thor, and shit goes awry, and that sounds kind of interesting. I wonder if that means we'll get two Chris Hemsworths.
A lot of Chris's in the Marvel Universe.
That's a 12-pack right there.
You got a Chris Hemsworth. You got a Chris Pratt. You got a Chris Evans. I think they went wrong with this Black Panther. They could have had another Chris role.
How dare they? Yeah,
I know.
Chris Rock.
They went and messed it up with Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Did you guys see 42?
I saw a lot of trailers, and I picked up the box in the store, but no, I didn't see it.
I actually saw it, and Harrison Ford grunts his way through the entire movie.
He sure does.
I want you to have the guts not to fight back.
Yeah,
it's a good movie, though.
Yeah, it's just not a bad movie. Chadwick Boseman, he does a really good job playing Jackie Robinson, so I'm excited to see what he'll bring to the part, and the concept art really excites me. I think it could be really cool.
Yeah, so he's been done a couple of different ways, Mr. T'Challa Walla Bing Bang. Sometimes he has powers, sometimes he doesn't have powers, but he's basically like, he can be perceived as like the Batman of the Marvel Universe in some way, except he's like a super mega king of a whole country and a bit of a badass, you know, like he protects his people.
And did you have the list, Randy, of the richest comic book characters ever? Is that one of your lists?
Yes, that was one of my lists, yeah.
And he is the richest comic book character in history.
Yeah, he owns a country and the people in it, and I think they are like big on technology and his little.
Yeah, they're the only source in the world for vibranium.
Which is
like the alloy that Captain America's shield's made of.
Yeah, the super steel stuff.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
When combined with other elements, it can be used to make adamantium.
Ooh, that's right. Unobtainium. What movie was that?
That was Avatar.
There you go. Unobtainium. That's so awesome.
It's a little on the nose, Mr. Cameron.
You can't even get it. That's how crazy it is. That's nuts. You got to go to a whole other planet, Dave. To me, that's a little bit more rare. And you can't, the fact that you can't even get it makes it amazing. You just got to tell your friends that you have it. Like old cheat codes.
Well, yeah, see, because nobody knows what it looks like. It's so hard to get, so you can say you have it and just pull a rock out of your pocket.
Yeah, you need, like, the game genie of elements.
Ooh.
Yeah, next year we're going
to... First you have to stick it in, and then you have to stick something else inside of that.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Game genie's all about double penetration.
I bet Harry from Armageddon could mine this crap.
Well, Justin, you said you were most excited about the Captain Marvel movie. Any particular reason why?
Yeah, I think it'll be better than Wonder Woman, dude. I think
the Marvel film.
Well, that and
no Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and Carol Danvers is actually a pretty cool character. Like, I mean, I read, I think the first 12 issues of her Captain Marvel. I want to say started sometime in 2012, but that could be mistaken. But I kind of got my fill of her because. I honestly only read her comic was because I had to talk about her on the Assembly of Geeks podcast, and I was like, what the fuck, I don't know shit about Carol Danvers, so let me read some comics, right? And it actually wasn't half bad, you know. She's an Air Force pilot. She gets mixed up with the original Captain Marvel, and then there's this crazy explosion, and she gets his powers. And she's fighting this Kree dude, and those are the guys that are all up in the Marvel Universe, like in the out and outer space, like all those crazy aliens that always want to kill humans and shit. And so that was kind of cool. I like it when it explores, you know, other alien races. I'm a fan of that in the comic books. As you know, I feel like there's nothing on Earth that can hurt these people, so it's always more exciting when something is a threat from another world.
Like Thanos.
Exactly. There's a bigger bad out there. But she's cool because, you know, she's a woman and she's super strong. And you guys know that Rogue from the 90s X-Men cartoon is like one of my all-time favorite characters ever. And I think this is as close to that as I'll ever get.
Nice. The cast, Southern Belle, you'll be in heaven.
I would. And, you know, it just makes me so sad with the X-Men movies because Rogue was such a badass. And I could easily see young girls relating to this character and wanting to be Captain Marvel for Halloween as opposed to Wonder Woman for Halloween. I just think it's cool, man.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. I would. I'd get on board that.
And you know what's interesting, too, is you can't get too far into her comics without some other character making an appearance, whether it be Tony Stark or Captain America. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody has a cameo in her movie like they always do in her comics.
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome. Well, what do you guys think about them dubbing Infinity War Part 2 as the culmination of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? How do you interpret that, Randy?
How long have we been building towards something? I think what we are going to see is just what they're advertising, the culmination.
All of it.
So do you think
like then we're done with Captain America? We're done with Chris Evans as Captain America. Done with Thor. Done with all that.
At some point, as much as we love it, this crazy roller coaster has to come to an end.
Then reboots.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be tough, though.
Well, maybe they're banking on, you know, some of these movies. Guardians, we might still get another Guardians out of this. We can get another Black Panther out of it if fucking Ant-Man happens to be a success. I can get one of those.
Say that with a straight face.
I know, right? this Inhumans. I mean, that could be introducing all kinds of crazy mutants, and I'm gonna call them mutants, not Inhumans, because I don't like that. And Captain Marvel. We could honestly, out of what I'm seeing on my screen right here, there could be another six or seven movies out of these. I do think it's crazy. Batshit crazy that in 2017 there's three Marvel movies, and in 2018 there's three Marvel movies. That's hefty.
And in both those years there's three DC movies.
Yeah, that's a lot of action. A lot of action at this table.
It's a lot of hooch.
Plus we're gonna get Deadpool in 2017. We're gonna get like a Spider-Man movie pretty much every year from 2016, 17, and 18. We're going to get an X-Men movie in 2016 and 2018. And then plus we're going to get a Fantastic Four movie in 2015. If it's successful, you know we'll get one in 2018. There's a lot of superhero movies coming.
I know. And we talked about that, and it was just too much. Considering it's now, this is basically 5 years. That's a lot of movies happening in 5 years.
Yeah.
And
31 comic book movies.
And I think the one that's going to make the most is Infinity War Part 2. I think that is just going to... It's going to be enough money to finally bring Walt Disney back to life.
That's what this whole plan has been all along.
Yes. They are going to do it. And I think it's going to happen in 2019.
Nice.
And I'm kind of excited about that. I mean, we were talking about being kind of exhausted just from DC's lineup. Like, we were just like, what the fuck, dude? This is just too much shit. And then the very next day, after discussing DC, we get this shot with both barrels by Marvel. And I am way more excited about Marvel's lineup than I am with DC.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when DC's pulling out, like, Shazam, right. and another Green Lantern movie, and a Flash movie. I could give two shits about.
Right, and there was an article that I read today with Stephen Amell, where he was talking about how he plays, of course, the Arrow on the CW, and he was indifferent, like, he was okay with having the TV universe and the cinematic universe separate, because he thought that if he were to make a movie, it would undermine all the work that they put into a full season of the show. And I agree with that. But at the same time, we mentioned this last week, that we don't think Flash nor the Arrow need their own movies. It would just be nice to see a cameo in the movies when what the hell are they called? The Super Friends joined together, right?
Justice League.
Super Friends. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, because you get 18 hours a year of The Flash and 18 hours a year of Arrow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you basically get like 9 movies a year of these guys.
Exactly. They don't need their own movies. They get their own movie every week, and that's amazing. It would be neat if they were just to come together and help each other, help the team out. That's not asking too much.
No.
Yeah, and it would be all part of an ensemble. So, I mean, none of them are going to necessarily steal the show. And like you said, it's not just about them. Yeah, I agree. It would be nice just to bring them into other people's larger stories.
Okay. Yeah, because Marvel's bringing Agent Hill, well, Agent Hill as well. She'll go to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm sure, at some point. But, I mean, Agent Carter, she's going to have her TV show, but she's also going to be in Ant-Man, and she's also probably going to be in one of the Avenger movies they had rumored. So they're going to bring her back. So Marvel goes both ways. I don't know why DC doesn't.
No, it makes it so much more enjoyable for the viewers, I think. Well, at least this viewer.
You know what, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe the reason why it worked for Marvel is because the characters that they're doing with started in a movie, then went to TV, and then went back to movies. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, that could be.
Right, they have bridges, like Coulson. You know, right. He's the constant, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
When they cast film actors, you know.
Right.
There's different pedigree between, like, film actors and TV actors. So is that what you meant, Randy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Good point, Randy. Good point. 10 points for Gryffindor.
Good one, Cole.
But yeah, so Marvel Cinematic Universe is, I'd say, heating up, but it's pretty much been on fire since Iron Man came out in 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, they got no... I mean, they haven't even had a hiccup in the road. I mean... They're just trucking along. Every movie is better than the last. I think this year was, like, their best year with Winter Soldier. I think Winter Soldier is just, like, just an amazing movie, not even a comic book movie. And Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously you guys know what I think of that movie.
Oh, absolutely. I've watched Winter Soldier a billion times. I just keep having it on. I love it so much.
It's so good.
And Guardians, well, as soon as it comes out on the Blu-ray there, it'll be on constant loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the intergalactic craziness. What's next? How about the Fast and Furious 7 trailer?
Pedal to the metal.
Dude, you know, every year, not every year, it seems like every year, but they always one-up themselves, right? They got crazy shit. One time, they go off of a cliff, and they land in the water, and then they go up in a plane with their cars, and now they're coming out of planes with their cars.
Yeah, you know what I'm looking forward to most from this one? It's David's eventual YouTube video where he reenacts some ridiculous action scene with toys. Right. That's what I'm looking forward to the next one.
I was showing someone that the other day. That's
funny. It's got over 100,000 hits. You are internet famous, sir.
I'm internet famous.
Like the chocolate ring guy.
See, that's how Robert Kirkman found you. He's like, yeah. This guy. I don't want to be friends with that guy.
But I like it. I kind of got a little sad, though. You see Paul Walker. You see they're all just having fun, right? Whatever footage they shot, you could tell they're just having the greatest time of their lives. And it just sucks that... I can't even imagine what that had to have been like filming the rest of the movie without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be heartbreaking because they took such a long break. And, I mean, usually when a film has, like, the death of a star, you know, they figure it out and they come back like a week later and everyone's like sad, but like they legitimately took a lot of time off and, you know, they consulted with Paul Walker's family about like how they wanted, like, I mean, that's just, I mean, in a money means everything studio environment, you know, the fact that they went to his family and they went to his brothers and they said, hey, we want to make a movie that honors, you know, his life, you know, how can you help us do it? And mm-hmm. You can't say enough good things about the production.
It's nuts. Can't wait, man. And yeah, see, and this is like gonna be, honestly, this is gonna be, it's weird because Jason Statham's gonna lose this battle, and Jason Statham doesn't lose. I'm gonna have to watch Vin Diesel or The Rock or some fucking body beat the shit out of the guy that does all the shit beating. That's gonna make me sad on some level. I don't know what to do. I'm torn. It's like my two babies fighting. I don't know. Makes me so sad.
It's like that movie The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood from back in the day. You're sitting there on the cliff holding both of them by their arms, but you can only hold one. You have to drop the other. You got to make the choice. Do you draw Macaulay Culkin?
Well, at the time, I probably would have saved Macaulay Culkin because he did Home Alone.
But he was mean in that movie.
I know, like... but he could be saved because he was Kevin McAllister, and he's just a little fuck. That's all there is to it. But Elijah Wood, that was pre Lord of the Rings,
pre Frodo. I like the Fast 7 trailer, Furious 7. Sorry.
Yes.
I like that it started off with, like, you know, it wasn't like your standard trailer. It had like a nice little action scene, and then it had like a trailer part.
Mm-hmm. It was like the preparation. Y'all
I
ready?
I just like all the flying.
Exactly. I totally thought of that. I just really like it for all the flying and the magic. Except they were falling. That's got to be scary. Parachuting in a car.
Yeah. Like if you're upside down, you launch your chute and you're screwed.
Yeah. How do you practice that?
I don't think you only practice. You just do it and you hope it works.
Huh. Hope that Bodhi packs your chute.
Yeah. You just pass it around.
Cool. So we're all a yay on the Furious 7 there.
I am.
When does that come out?
Give it a whirl.
May? Next year.
May of next year. So
part
really,
of like Super 2015.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Apocalypse.
And that's okay, so does that is it going to come out in May or April? Because they should come out in April before Avengers. Is it really May?
I could be totally wrong.
They're crazy. They should do April.
Let's see.
That's just my two cents.
April showers bring.
I know.
Oh, April 10th.
There you go. Yeah, almost a month ahead of Avengers because no one's going to see anything but Avengers for a whole month.
Yeah, people are gonna steer clear.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'm excited. I'll be there.
With your popcorn, your soda pop.
And Kurt Russell's in it too. Oh my god. I'm confused what his role is though. Is Kurt Russell not a bad guy in this movie?
I think he's gonna be a bad guy.
He is gonna be a bad guy.
I mean we don't know for sure, but
he's talking to them like he's kind of maybe playing both sides, I don't know.
Double agent.
Yeah.
He's like Archer.
So we all know that there's this crazy Terminator movie. Terminator Genisys, spelled all cute.
Mm-hmm.
How do they spell it?
With a Y.
Yes. Silly. Now, your headline here says, Sarah Connor orphaned by a Terminator and other details. Why don't you give me the deets?
Well, a direct quote. Sarah Connor isn't the innocent she was when Linda Hamilton first sported feathered hair and acid wash jeans in the role. Nor is she Hamilton's steely zero-body fat warrior in 91's T2. Rather, the mother of humanity's messiah was orphaned by a Terminator at age 9. Since then, she's been raised by, brace yourself, Schwarzenegger's Terminator, an older T-800 she calls Pops, who was programmed to guard rather than kill. As a result, Sarah is a highly trained antisocial recluse who's great with a sniper rifle but not so skilled at the nuances of human emotion. The hell did I just read?
Sounds intense.
It's perfectly normal to call the robot machine that killed your parents and raised you Pops.
I don't know if it's the same one. It sounds like maybe a Terminator orphaned her and then this other Terminator was sent back to protect her. You know, because there's people in the future that know what happened in the past. So they can just send Terminators all day long. Those one-way tickets are going like hotcakes over there.
I guess they should not just send them one at a time. Send like 18 Terminators.
Oh.
They try to kill her in part one. They fail. Then they try to kill her kid in part two. And then in part three, I think they try to kill him again. And then now they're going to go back and try to kill her when she's a kid.
But how do they know to send them back if... Because obviously they survived the encounter, so what's the real danger? If they're alive in the future, then they survived the encounter in the past, so who gives a shit? Right?
Why don't they just kill them in the future?
Problem solved!
Just stop fucking with this time travel nonsense. You guys are overthinking it. Just kill her now.
While she's old.
Yeah. Okay, we tried this sending stuff people in the future stuff, and it just isn't working out. Let's just find her now.
So maybe they went to go kill her parents, but they just didn't go back far enough. The computer messed up on the age.
And then Pops came and saved the day. Mm-hmm. And I probably said, come with me if you want to live.
I bet you. I think you're right, Dave.
I think they just need to send them all the way back to, like, prehistoric era. Terminators are what killed the dinosaurs, and then they just fucking start annihilating as the first signs of human life start popping up.
They crush the little microorganisms in the ponds.
Exactly. Instead of crushing skulls like those bits you see in T2, they're fucking just crushing little amoebas and the first creatures to wander out of the ocean and shit. They're just annihilating prehistoric life. Just said, you know what? Fuck it. Humans are the problem. Just take them out from the beginning. Yeah, go to fucking patient zero.
They're like, wait, who's going to make us then? Error.
Yeah. Then it just implodes in that little time
paradox,
travel thing.
Paradox. Universe.
It sounds like a boring movie, man.
Now think about it. Then they're already there in that time, and then I don't know how whatever size team of Terminators gets sent to this prehistoric area, and then just imagine instead of the human evolution over the thousands and thousands and thousands of years, it's Terminator Evolution. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the next fucking film, Terminator Evolution.
Seems like a Robot Chicken sketch.
I think the Terminators should try and argue the logic behind the time travel.
Yeah, I'd like to see a couple Terminators arguing about fucking like Back to the Future 3 and the portals and shit. Just
like a water cooler chat.
Yeah,
Or Terminator podcast where they're sitting around a table talking
arguing about the merits of time travel and its effectiveness as a medium for assassination.
And how 1.21 gigawatts isn't even enough to send somebody back.
You believe those guys in the DeLorean with the 1.21 gigawatts? Yeah.
Would never work.
Stupid humans.
Randy, why don't you tell us what's going on with the Star Wars there?
Well, principal photography has officially wrapped, and that has wrapped within the last week or so. They had their big wrap party, and people have been posting photos online and video of people just kind of going nuts. One of the coolest things that I saw over the last few days, though, was this really cool little personalized letter that was given out to all the cast and crew, and it looks like it was personally signed by J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy and three other signatures that I couldn't make out the names of. But there, it was given out with a very cool embroidered Episode 7 hat. So one of the coolest things to come out of that as well, other than the little swag that we saw that the cast and crew got, was a tweet from Mr. Anthony C-3PO Daniels himself saying, quote, "No movie sequel is better than Empire Strikes Back," unquote. You might eat those words for Christmas dinner in 2015. Joy and indigestion to the world. So he's making a really bold statement right there, saying that he thinks Episode 7 is going to be better than The Empire Strikes Back. Which is a really, really bold statement, considering that Empire is pretty much beloved to the utmost in the hearts of all true Star Wars fans. And I don't know, that gives me a lot of hope, because Anthony Daniels has been involved in pretty much every iteration of Star Wars, including the animated series. Anything that's ever involved C-3PO, it's always been exclusively him. With the exception of maybe some books on tape or something like that. But anytime you've ever seen him on TV or in movies, it's always been Anthony Daniels. I can't imagine anyone else as C-3PO. So to me, he is the voice of – he is like the constant that holds all the entire saga together. Hopefully he's in all nine movies.
So what do you think this movie's going to need to do in order to be better than Empire Strikes Back? What do you hope to see that could maybe surpass –
I can't even
be able to... hands in space.
Oh. Yeah. I think you're going to get your wish, David. I can't even begin to imagine what can happen in this movie to make it better than Episode 7. And I've been, you know there's the guys that are totally anti-spoiler and they're trying to stay spoiler-free.
You're the opposite
of
that.
One of those guys. That is not the path I have chosen to take. So every day I'm checking like three or four different Star Wars websites going, ooh, who's got the new news today? What's going on today? Who leaked some pictures, you know? So I am on top of that at any given time. And I have a pretty good idea of certain elements in the movie. But here's the thing. I was doing the exact same thing back in 2005, right before Episode 3 came out, and that movie still surprised me. You know, there were still things that happened in there that I wasn't ready for. So anything can happen at this point. And there's a hell of a lot of time. There's a whole year between now and when the movie comes out. So
you know what's funny about that? Because Dave tried to be relatively spoiler-free. But yeah. I remember him showing me the photo of Anakin about to kill Dooku.
Yeah, with the crossed sabers.
Yeah, and the first thing I said is, whoa, he's got a red lightsaber. And Dave's like, fucker, look at Dooku's hands. He doesn't have any. I'm like, oh. I totally missed drawn to the beautiful red light that was his lightsaber. Yeah. So I totally missed the part about the hands. That was really like the only thing that I remember you only having a few spoilers, and that was one of them.
Yeah, that guy. Randy tried his best to shield his monitor, but the way we sat at work, I had a direct view of Randy's monitor, and he squealed or something, and I looked up, and I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, do you like the Mr. Burns kind of fingers together.
Excellent.
Oh my god, yeah. And see, it's interesting because at first when the spoilers first started coming out for episode 7, it was real picture heavy. And then, like, everything went dark. It was a lot of the websites that had been posting stuff like that, they were just posting descriptions of pictures. Like, imagine in your mind what this would look like, and it's describing concept art that supposedly they had seen or something like that. And it wasn't until a few weeks ago that a lot of this concept art was actually finally posted online. So that just leads me to believe that websites that are hosting that are really getting kind of attacked by Disney, who's taking the no spoiler thing very seriously. But one of my favorite things, and this is something that David reminded me of before we started recording the podcast tonight, one of my favorite things is it's like an Imperial propaganda poster saying something to the effect of loose lips sink starships or something like that. And it's basically just kind of, and those were hanging all over the studios in London where they were shooting. And that was just kind of reminding cast and crew, hey, you guys signed NDAs, keep your damn mouth shut so that we don't have all this stuff floating around the internet for people to soak up before the movie comes out. So it looks like that must have worked to a degree, because with as many people as were involved in this project, I would have expected to see more stuff leaking.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's as tight as it is pretty solid.
Yeah. I think now that it's going into like the visual effects people's hands, I think now is when we'll start getting a lot of leaks, because it's not their blood, sweat and tears on set, and they're less attached to it. I think,
right.
I think, you know, March of next year, we're going to start seeing like a deluge, because they're going to start doing all their trailer cuts. I bet we see a trailer, you know, sometime in the beginning of summer, probably before Celebration. And it got me thinking, now in the trailer, you know that the first one's going to play heavy on the nostalgia. Have you thought about like what you think is going to happen in the trailer that'll make you like squeal or be like, oh my God, this was Star Wars again?
Well, I think it's going to be something similar to what we saw in the very first trailers for episode 2. We just see little flashes of what happened. I think we're going to see some flashbacks to the original series. I think we're going to see the funeral pyre on Endor, because I know that plays a part in episode 7. Darth Vader's burnt corpse, so to speak. I'm not giving anything away when I say that, but
spoiler alert from 30 years ago.
Was there any kind of imagery that you can think, or any kind of like moments or that you can think that you know is going to be in the trailer? Like for me, it's like the first time I see like the Falcon's like you know, there's going to be a shot with the boarding ramp of the Falcon coming down, and Han's going to be walking down the ramp, and I think that's going to be my like holy shit moment. Like this is really happening.
There's going to be a Harrison Ford smirking at the camera kind of thing. That's going to be very much, you know, it's going to be that Han Solo swagger. We're going to see a shot of that in the trailer. The very first time you see a lightsaber ignite, you know, it's like maybe the one that they supposedly find in the desert or in the crash or whatever, however they come across this lightsaber that starts the journey, supposedly. I think one of them is going to sit there, just turn it on, and there's going to be this weird, bizarre, beautiful moment. And
this voiceover.
Yeah, we might see that in the trailer, just the first time they spark up that lightsaber.
Right, and that's the thing. Because Star Wars, aside from being visual, the sound is what really hits home for a lot of people. So, lightsaber, woom, woom, woom sounds, the fucking TIE fighters flying where he does like that noise. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of the pachoo pachoos from the blasters. No joke, it's all about sound in those movies. And you could be in another room and just hear the movie and know what's happening on the screen.
Right,
and there's not a lot of movies out there that do that for you, and Star Wars is definitely one of them. And I think as soon as you hear some ship flying in space or some kind of woo-woo-woo sound from a lightsaber, you're going to get the chills and lose your shit.
Yeah.
And I just know for me that, like, for episode one, I didn't really freak out until Darth Maul turned on blade number two on his dual-bladed lightsaber. That's when I was like, oh my god, this fucking movie's going to be insane.
Yeah.
I never in a million years did I think that was even remotely in the realm of possibility. And I think that when we see whoever this fucking bad guy is and have him whip out his little lightsaber, it's just going to blow you away. Jaws are going to drop. And
two drops of pee going to come out.
Yes.
I would love to hear Mark Hamill's voice at some point in it, too. I don't know if that would give anything away. Yeah, that would be just making his badass Jedi reveal. That would be cool. But I don't know how much they can show because I don't know enough about what's going on in Luke's life at this point to know what to expect from his character in this movie. But I would love to hear like some sage words of advice in the aged Luke Skywalker's voice. I would love to hear that.
Like him take on almost the Alec Guinness role.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah.
I'd love for him to be giving the lightsaber speech to like John Boyega's character or something like that. Like telling him about lightsabers. I mean, I would lose my shit if he like just straight up Alec Guinness, like a more elegant weapon.
I know you guys are spoiler free, and I'm struggling the most valiant inner struggle right now to prevent myself from giving anything away, which I believe to be the direction the film is going. Nice. So I am going to change the subject.
Before you change the subject, what's the over under on in the trailer? Do we get I got a bad feeling about this?
Oh.
No, they're going to stray away from that because that was something that they cheesily worked into the sequels, and it's become one of those things where if you want something to feel like Star Wars and have that common Star Wars thread, have it be through the visuals, have it be through the feel, have it be through the music. Don't have it be recycling the same lines.
And that's how Rebels is killing it every week.
Exactly. And I agree with you there. And in fact, I may be paraphrasing something that you said when we talked about Rebels in the past, Justin. But that's exactly how I feel about it too. So, do I believe that we're going to get that in there? Yeah, we probably will, and we're going to get some iteration of it probably in all three of the next trilogy movies. But I don't think it necessarily warrants going into the trailer. But I will say this. Before we completely go off of Star Wars, there's one other fun fact that I have for you guys. So there's going to be an entire action sequence in the movie that was shot on IMAX.
Yeah.
And it was teased over the summer. We saw a picture of an IMAX camera on a big crane in the middle of a desert somewhere. And it was a tweet from J.J. Abrams that said something to the effect of best format ever. So the entire film isn't being shot on IMAX, but it's just one specific action scene. And I don't know exactly how I feel about that. I know there have been movies in the past that...
Yeah,
you know,
Nolan does that.
Yeah, where there's certain scenes of it that are in IMAX, or like Superman Returns, there are certain scenes of it that are 3D or what have you. You know, it's like... All one or the other is my knee-jerk reaction, but I think I'm actually going to have to go to a proper IMAX theater to see this now, just to make the most of that one scene. And if it's an action, it's specifically labeled as an action sequence. Yeah. So, of course, I got to see that.
I hope they do it kind of like – I can't believe I'm saying it. Hope they do it kind of like Catching Fire did. To where Catching Fire shot the arena stuff in IMAX. And so if you saw it in IMAX, you watched the movie in the normal aspect ratio, and then as soon as Katniss goes up the elevator tube into the arena, it stretched out to IMAX. And so it was kind of a cool effect where I could see them doing that for like maybe that's like the last action sequence of that's like the big finale of the film.
Yeah.
That could be cool if you're going to, you know, have it go in and out of IMAX aspect ratio. Because like Dark Knight, Nolan does it like for like the openings, like the opening of like Dark Knight, you know, with the bank robbery with the Joker. That was in IMAX, and then it shrunk back down for the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think when he was in China, when Batman was in China on top of that skyscraper, they kept the IMAX shot too because remember the guy died. And it's like, can't do all this for nothing.
Right.
Plus, I think Nolan breaks like 2 IMAX cameras a year or something. There's only one left in the whole planet.
Dropped one off of the Learjet like at like 10,000 feet for Interstellar.
Yeah, see? He always breaks them, dude. Every movie, the guy's breaking cameras. He's a liability.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, his movies make money.
That's true. And it all goes back to Mr. IMAX.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. IMAX. Well, if when it comes out, Randy, mm-hmm. you should go to the Chinese theater and see it, because that's the biggest IMAX screen in the world, and it's an amazing theater. So I will go with you to the Chinese theater.
Hell yes.
I'll fly down.
You're going to fly down?
Yeah, do it.
Anyway, do we have a Geek of the Week?
We do have a Geek of the Week. It's kind of a cop-out. It's kind of mushy. It's kind of sentimental. But I love our little website, and I post frequently. And I last week posted my 2,000th post on our website, which is a ridiculously big number. And I had crafted out this long, eloquent post where I gave thanks to all the amazing people at Geek Legacy. And then Marvel went and dropped all their shit and just obliterated it. So my 2,000th post was about the Infinity War, which is a fine thing to do. But I just want to take a second. My Geek of the Week is everyone at Geek Legacy, because they are so amazing. And so I'll figure I would just start at the top. And I would start with our own Mr. Justin Cavender, who I don't think he will ever realize how much I appreciate all of the hard work he puts into both the website and the podcast. And, you know, he has to edit all those ramblings into a coherent podcast and make it entertaining for you, and still finds time to post a bunch of shit. He's at like 1,200 posts, so he's rocking and rolling and stuff like that. And so I just want to make sure that he knows how much I love him and how important he is to the site. So, Justin, thank you so much for all that you do. You are amazing.
Hey, thank you.
Yay.
And then Randy, not enough can be said about his calming influence whenever we're out like in the field, like like no matter how nervous I am about, you know, whoever we're going to be interviewing, or if like I'm not as familiar with it, I never have to worry, because I know that behind the camera is this smirking mustachioed son of a bitch who's just going to like look at me and go like, and no matter what I do, I know that he is so talented and so amazing that he's going to make whatever rambling, nonsensical segue I do look great. He's the one responsible for all the graphics you see on our videos, and he puts them all together. While Justin and I are out playing and having fun at Comic-Con at night, he's hard back at home base editing and putting stuff together so you guys can have something where it is definitely amazing. So Randy, I love you two. You two are my best friends, and I'm so happy that we're all doing this together. And you guys do the podcast with me, and that's so thank you too, Randy. You're amazing as well.
Aw, thank you.
And I would say some nice stuff about Amanda, but she couldn't stay up this late. But so it sucks to be her. But Amanda is amazing as well, because Justin, when we first talked about this, he's like, oh, I know someone who can do it for us. And before I could really comprehend whether or not we should do it, she'd pretty much already built our website. And I'm like, holy shit. And she's always there to answer all my dumb questions that I have and all my technical questions. And she never once makes me feel stupid when I probably ask a very stupid question. So thank you, Amanda. Hopefully you're listening. She probably isn't, but
I don't think she listens to the podcast.
Well, if you tweeted Amanda, tell her that I said something nice about her, and she should listen.
Right.
But don't tell her where in the podcast it is, so she has to listen to the whole thing.
So I don't want to make it a huge 10-hour think fest, but you know, obviously we have so many other contributors. You know, Tyler does an amazing job with the comics. He's our managing editor of comics. You know, the Mighty Jer and Stephen James were two of our very first contributors to come on board. And you know, although they don't have the time to write as much as I would love, you know, I'm happy to get what they do. You know, we had Jess that wrote for us for a long time, and you know, Justin said it the other day that she was like family, and it really feels like that. And there's just so many contributors. If I didn't mention you, sorry. I love you. And thanks. And we're all the Geek of the Week.
Oh,
sounds like an acceptance speech. That's awesome. You need to start bringing in the band when you edit that together.
It's like I have a terminal disease or something.
Yeah. The Sarah McLachlan animal rights music.
I will remember. But yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the stroke job.
You're welcome. I just wanted you guys to know that I value everything you do.
I value you. I treasure our friendship.
I treasure our friendship.
My helmet is appropriately polished, and I have you to thank for that.
You're welcome.
Congratulations on 200 or 2,000 posts.
Yeah, dude, that is a huge feat. That is awesome.
Thanks. I'm the mayor of the internet.
Yeah. Mayor Goldie Wilson.
I like the sound of that. Here, clean up this town.
It's not clean up the floor.
Oh, jeez. Milk. Chocolate.
Give me a tab.
I can't give you a tab. You haven't ordered anything yet. Yeah, oh,
give me
God.
A Pepsi free.
You want a Pepsi? You gotta pay for it.
Just give me some of that lot of sugar.
That is the best movie ever. Holy shit, man. That is such a good movie.
Universally loved.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, throw another name in there is Felix. He helps me out with video games. And he went as Marty McFly for freaking Halloween, and he looked amazing.
Yeah, it was a good costume.
And he does so much for our website too. On E3, he did like 20 articles during E3 in one day. Yeah, so he's a beast. And like us, Jurassic Park is one of his all-time favorite movies.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Jurassic Park and Back to the Future. So he's automatically a part of Geek Legacy.
Yeah. Awesome.
As you guys can be too. Do we have a list, Mr. Van Dyke?
Boy, do we have a list.
What do you got?
You know, I was thinking, you know what franchise I love? Harry Potter.
Ooh.
And here is a top 10 list of potential Harry Potter spinoffs in light of the Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yes. So this one is compiled by Den of Geek. And it's in no particular order, but I'm just going to go through this, and we'll go through fairly quickly and have some fun with it. Let me know what you guys think of these ideas. First one being a movie about Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. These being the actual people that the houses at Hogwarts were named after.
We got a little taste of them when McGonagall was explaining the Chamber of Secrets.
Right. So we can see the origin of the Sorting Hat and the Sword of Godric Gryffindor and all that crap.
and Chamber of Secrets is really just a nice, quiet place for Salazar Slytherin to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a sewer, right? There's a lot of water going on down there.
He's a dirty man.
He's got a basilisk.
Private. Very private man.
Yeah.
Occupado, dude.
Yeah. Like, I never saw Randy when I was pounding on the bathroom door at work. You're all, está ocupado. It was like 6 o'clock at night. It was all winter, so it was all dark already.
Yeah, I had no idea if it was you or if it was somebody that I needed to speak the Espanol with, so.
Oh my God. Holy shit, that was one of the best days ever. Hot damn, what's next?
He caught me all off guard, making me laugh. All right. Next is the Marauders. The Marauders, of course, being the ones who made the Marauders map. So we'd basically be seeing adventures of the younger Marauder crew and their mishaps through Hogwarts.
And that's just a young James Potter
and Lupin
and Sirius. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. The Order of the Phoenix. So we could see kind of what they're up to while Harry, Ron, and Hermione are in hiding during Deathly Hallows, or we can even see a little bit what's going on before that, but it would be kind of entirely from the point of view of the Order of the Phoenix.
Remember, we see that photograph of them, and then two people were killed like a week after that photo was taken.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of tense. Not a lot of those wizards make it.
Yeah, well, you could see it would be an intense action.
Mm-hmm.
Oriented kind of film.
Especially seeing the Longbottoms get tortured. That would suck.
It doesn't pay to know Harry Potter, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Like, what's the Harbinger of Doom.
Yeah, what a loser.
Next, this one is kind of something that everybody, we would all like to see it, but it would kind of be the easy way out, but we all still want to see it. The Next Generation, i.e., you know, Harry's kids, and just the whole new generation of young kids going through their own Hogwarts experience, with the advantage of having all the wizened elders of the original cast come back to kind of keep things on track. So that could be kind of fun. And so I would rather see that than a reboot at some point in time in the next like decade or two, right? Just, I think that would be a lot more fun personally. We all know Dumbledore has a huge storied past that may or may not involve sex with another man. How would you like to see that up on the big screen? Let's not the it. Sex part, but the other stuff.
You had me at sex, but now I'm not so much involved.
Yeah. I think that would be fascinating because Dumbledore is a really interesting character that you learn a hell of a lot about in the later Harry Potter works. Yeah, Deathly Hallows. You really learn a lot about his past and how he is not the person that Harry thought he was.
I want to see some beard-on-beard action, man.
I'm ready. You know what? I'm sure there's some fan fiction out there with your name on it. Literally.
Yeah.
It's got your name on it. Okay, here's a fun one. A Voldemort movie. You know, like during the prequel trilogy, going back to Star Wars here, going with the prequel trilogy, we try to unvilify the villain and kind of follow him from his youth. We could do the same thing from a Tom Riddle standpoint.
Except we've kind of seen...
We've seen enough. Bits and pieces. We've seen... Yeah, we've seen enough, but...
And he's never good.
It'll be interesting. And yeah, he never really is good, but it would be interesting to see if there is any way that you can make him empathetic. Next on the list here is The Ministry. So... This one, to me, just seems like it would be a boring political kind of movie, but it could be interesting to see how they rebuild the ministry after the events of Deathly Hallows. You know, not necessarily with all the crew from the originals, with Harry, Ron, and Hermione going in there and cleaning things up. I know Ron goes off with his brother and does their silly little... Wizarding wheezes, but I don't know. It could be interesting. I'm not really on board with that one because it sounds too prequel era, fucking political heavy to me. So I'll pass on that one. But here's one that could be interesting. One of your favorite characters, Justin, Luna.
Ooh.
She was always described as one of Rowling's favorite characters, and she could very well lend herself to all sorts of entire feature-length side stories because she is quite a goofy character that could cause all sorts of trouble and go on many adventures. And it's a relatively strong female protagonist that I think a lot of young girls could look up to and enjoy reading or watching in the movie form.
See, I think she's better in small doses. Personally, I think that's why I like her.
Yeah, I think so too, and that kind of falls back to what we were saying about Hawkeye and Hulk and Black Widow. Good in an ensemble, good in small doses, maybe doesn't need an entire book or movie all to herself. Mm-hmm. This is another one that I don't necessarily subscribe to, but I know you, sir, are a fan of Death Eaters. So what would you think about watching a movie all about Death Eaters and their spawn after Voldemort's been defeated and they have to reintegrate into society?
I don't think it would be very good.
I don't think it would be very interesting. I could see it as a short story because we know all the Malfoy family survived, and we do get to see a brief glimpse of Draco and his kid in the little epilogue at the end of Deathly Hallows.
And they kind of had some kind of quasi... you know, redemption. They at some point they were just too darn scared and said, "Fuck this noise."
So this one's kind of fun because it would actually take place concurrently with the movies that we know and love, and this is seeing the adventures of Dumbledore's army featuring Harry Potter himself. But that we couldn't really go back to in the form of a movie because everybody has aged. But it could definitely live on in book form. And, you know, that is the last one that I have here on the list.
I like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I like Harry Potter so much that I actually made a game based on Harry Potter. And that has nothing to do with your list. I think that was funny how we both went that route.
Yeah, silly.
I know. So normally there are three contestants in our Game of the Week, but since Amanda called in sick today, we'll only have the two of you. But that's okay, because you are both outstanding wizards in your own right, and I think you'll do just fine.
I got my hand on my wand. I'm ready.
Yeah. Wands at the ready! So
everybody see me?
Mr. Lockhart, one of my favorite teachers ever. That guy rules. Yes, so here's how this is going to work. I am going to describe a charm or a curse, and you have to tell me what it is. You have to pronounce said charm or curse.
like accurately?
I'll figure it out. Most of them are pretty easy. These were all done in the movie, so it's not like these are shots in the dark. You have heard and said all of these 1,000 times.
All right.
All right. Are you guys ready? Don't be pulling up any lists anyway.
I know. I hear typing.
Dave is a little cheater.
Tapping.
Wait, what?
Googling. I hear Googling.
No Googles.
I'm not. No. All right.
Shut off my Google. Yeah. All right, are you guys ready?
Ready.
Remember, these are pretty easy. So shout it out when you know it.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so this charm is used to open and unlock doors.
Alohomora?
David is correct.
Very nice.
Alohomora. All right, number two. Let's see. This charm summons an object to the castle. I heard Dave first.
Which I always pronounce as Accio until the movie, and they said Accio.
Right. That happens. Hermione was a tough one to say until the movie, too.
Yeah.
You're like, Hermione. This isn't a word. All right. Here we go. Known as the Killing Curse.
Cadabra.
Very good. Causes instant painless death to whomever the curse hits. Sadly, there's no counter curse. What can you do?
Unless you're the boy who lives.
Avada Kedavra. I think it's funny how Lucius was going to use that on Harry at the end of Chamber of Secrets.
He's going to straight kill that kid.
Yeah, you can't kill no kids in no school. What's he thinking?
Like feet from Dumbledore?
And how's it going to just... Who's just going to walk away?
Just going to stroll out.
And then we'll be like, oh my god, I found him that way.
Put him in like a closet somewhere.
Yeah. That'd be funny. What can you do? All right. So David has 3. Smoking. On a roll. This curse inflicts unbearable pain.
Crucio.
I heard Dave again.
Yeah.
2,000 posts. And 4 correct answers. And 1 sick triceratops. So this is known as the growth charm. Mm. What it does is it increases the size of objects.
It's like expando?
No, but that's close. Barty Crouch Jr., actually he's Professor Moody when he does it, but he uses it on a spider in the classrooms to provide a better visual aid for the students.
Engorgio?
That's correct. I was literally just about to say time was up, but I'm giving you that one. Randy has 1. Engorgio.
Sounds dirty.
It does sound dirty.
I would use it on myself every day.
I was just going to say something like that.
Just for fun. It would be like those pills that you take in the back of comic books.
Erecto Engorgio.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So, this spell is actually pretty popular amongst Harry Potter. He likes shouting it every chance he gets. It's a disarming charm.
Expelliarmus.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
And what's funny about that is Snape actually used it on Lockhart during their wand duel. And Harry hates freaking Snape, but look, he learned something from the guy. Expelliarmus. David with 5. Killing it. So, this is a levitation charm.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Correct. Wingardium Leviosa. Leviosa! Not Leviosa. Very good. David.
Such a nightmare.
David has 6. This curse causes the victim to obey.
Imperio.
Very good.
Nice.
That was the one I had in the chamber.
Proud of you, Randy. That's 2.
I got one more. I got one in the chamber still. I'm sure it's the same one Randy's got in the chamber still.
All right. So this spell creates a narrow beam of light that shines at the wand's tip.
Oh.
It's like, I don't want to be wrong. Lumos.
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Mischief managed. Nox. Here we go. This charm is used to hide a memory of a particular event. Mr. Lockhart uses it using Ron Weasley's wand, and of course it backfires.
Obliviate?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Obliviate! It's an awesome one.
I was going to go Confundus, but no, that's not right.
Confundus charm. So Randy, what is that, 3 for you?
Yeah.
Not bad. All right, and the Golden Snitch, number 11.
Is this the one you thought we weren't going to get?
Obliviate was the one I thought you wouldn't get.
Oh, and Randy killed it.
Yes, he did.
Accio Snitch. Yeah, caught
it. Yeah, why doesn't that ever work? All right, they probably have a spell. An anti-Accio spell.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like spell blocked.
This spell is one that you would want to use when you're fighting a Buggart.
Shit.
We all know that a Buggart is one of those things that will turn into an object that you fear the most.
It's like Patronus? Ridiculous?
Ridiculous is correct.
Ah, damn it.
Dave wins. Catching the Golden Snitch.
I was expecting Expecto Patronus.
Yeah, I that was the other one that was in my chamber.
Mm-hmm. That was too easy. You guys did really well. I'm proud of you. You guys are killing it with your Harry Potter knowledge. You guys would make excellent wizards.
Yeah, hunting them down. Mm-hmm. You know all the tricks.
You got Randy's more of a Diagon, or what's the shady part of Nocturne Alley?
Yeah,
yeah. Randy's banging broads over there, and
he's all doing the Imperious Curse on everybody.
Yeah. He does Engorgio and then Imperius.
You will polish my wand.
Yes.
It ain't gonna do itself.
It's like, no, put your hat back on. Yeah. Very good, Dave. You caught the Golden Patronus Snitch. You are the Keeper of Keys. You understand your spells. You're going far. You're going places, kid.
They'll hire me on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Part 1, 2, and 3.
Anybody got anything else? I think that does it.
I am spent.
Both mentally and physically.
David, thank you very much for those shout-outs for the Geek of the Week. We appreciate you. Congratulations again on 2,000 posts. That's amazing. All of you folks out there can check them out. I want you to read all 2,000. There will be a test next week. You can go to geeklegacy.com.
There's like 2020 now. So
oh, there you go.
There's a little bit extra.
Type in David Edmondson awesome, and all of them will pop up.
It'll be just that little Nedry from Dress Rock, like, ah, ah, ah.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Eat this hacker shit.
Hacker crap.
Please, goddammit.
Anyway, what do we got? Usual shout-outs. Freaking Tony Tolato. Over at Sci-Fi Talk. I've been listening to this guy's podcast like crazy. He's got some really fun interviews on there, so definitely check him out. He interviewed the entire cast of Gotham and freaking Constantine. The man kills it every week, so check him out. Of course, Mr. Tim Byers over at The Full Bleed. He wrote a nice piece about Marvel making a $2 billion movie. And he's pretty sure that Age of Ultron is going to be a $2 billion franchise.
It's big, big shoes.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. China can do it, man.
It'll make a lot of money.
Marvel's not just doing it for the money.
I donated for a shit ton of money.
So definitely check out Mr. Tim Byers. Again, Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk. Amazing. We have Andy B over at the Flash Podcast. He's killing it. Freaking our new friends over at the Electric Fan Cave. They got a fun podcast. Same topics that we discuss typically because we record our shows on the same nights. But you get an all-female perspective, and it's a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It's bizarre. They have the goatees.
They're the ones from the mirror dimension.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like, it makes us sound like we're wrong, and that's not good. So, check them out. Electric Fan Cave, subscribe, rate, be their friends, follow them on Twitter. And I think that does it. Oh, we're going to BlizzCon this week, so that'll be fun. We can talk about that next week. So, thank you very much for joining us. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. There you can find other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen K. Janes and myself. We talk about video games, highlight what's happening each week in the video game news. And of course, you have the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. And you stay fabulous. See you next week. Thanks.